Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. The title of the message tonight is Overtaken by Blessings. Overtaken by Blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we'll start there in verse 1. Deuteronomy 28:1. Amen. Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer? Yes, sir.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here together tonight. And what a title of a message. I'm sure we'll be overwhelmed by your incredible blessings. Lord, when we stop and meditate and realize your goodness and grace and mercy, you just give us abundantly, Lord. We say we've got to be grateful. I pray you pastors the words, the pastor the words to say tonight, and just encourage and strengthen him as he preaches. Help us to have ears to hear, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and what?
Overtake
thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. These verses just really stood out to me in verse 2 there. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. What would happen if you were headed for town in your old jalopy of a car, and it was kind of chugging along, and you couldn't hardly even go the speed limit. And a truck behind you started beeping its horn. And get over. And at first you might think, oh, I'm just going too slow. He wants me to get out of the way. So you pull over, and he pulls over. And he says, you know what? I've been trying to catch up to you and tell you that on the back of my truck is a car that someone wants to give you. And I tell you what, I'll drop the car off the truck. You can get in this car and I'll haul your old junker away and you can go. Wow, what a blessing to be overtaken by somebody that was coming after me to give me a new car, just exactly what I needed. But some of you like trucks, not cars. So, suppose in your old jalopy of a truck, you were working on some project at home, and like some trucks you see come from the lumber yard, they're not level. The back end is kind of really sagging, and if you've ever tried to drive one of those vehicles with that heavy of a load, you know it kind of sways going down the road. And so suppose you're in your truck going home and wondering if you're going to make it with the load to do your project, and a truck comes up behind you, a wrecker, and starts beeping his horn. And you're thinking, oh boy, what have I done? You know, so you pull over, and he said, I've been trying to catch up with you because I am towing a brand new 3/4 ton truck that somebody wants to give to you. So I will unhook from that, we'll switch the load, and I'll tow your old clunker away, and you can be on your way. Wow, what a wonderful thing to be overtaken by blessings. Well, it just got me to thinking here in verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee, and what? Overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Well, this passage was written to Israel, and in verse 1, if we go back there, there's a stipulation to be overtaken with blessings. And that is, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto what? The voice of the Lord thy God. To observe and to do all his what? Commandments. Which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee where? On high above all nations of the earth. I think about our country. You know, we're kind of in a mess. And if you in case you didn't notice, we're kind of in a mess. And I just think this same promise could be to us. Just think, right now we're running from our debt. I don't even know how many trillion dollars it is. I don't know if anybody really knows how many trillion dollars we're in debt. Some throw out different figures, but we have all kinds of problems chasing us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we as a nation had blessings trying to overtake us and share with us great and wonderful things that we never even dreamed? How wonderful that would be. Notice with me, if you hold your place here, notice with me in Leviticus 18:22. I just wonder what God would have in store for us if we would obey Him in this matter. In Leviticus 18:22, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination." In verse 24, "Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I what? Cast out before you, and the land is what? Defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." You think of the different things going on. In California is a continual tragedy unfolding, whether it's too much rain or not enough rain. The streets of San Francisco and some of the other cities in the state of California are just an absolute mess, littered with trash and needles, and the robberies now are so frequent. People run into stores sometimes in groups and rob the stores. What a mess, trouble. But you know what? If America would listen to this chapter, we could have blessings chasing us, blessings trying to overtake us, instead of problems. All of those problems are self-inflicted upon America because we won't turn to the Bible. Notice in Proverbs chapter 20, suppose tonight that liquor could be outlawed in America. Proverbs 20, verse 1. "Wine is what? A mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is what? Not wise." Not wise. Well, that picture is America. Not wise. We are a drunken nation. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes 8. What if we would follow the Bible as a nation? We could have, instead of all these problems, instead of all these centers and organizations that try to deal with addictions, we could have all kinds of people serving, working, doing something good instead of being in a drunkard, drunken or drug-induced stupor. But in Ecclesiastes 8:11, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to what? Do evil." That's America. We've had so many cities, we have so many cities in America that call themselves sanctuary cities, and they are finding themselves overrun, like New York City is one. For example, trying to disrespect the police and stand up for the criminals, stand up for the illegal criminals that are from other countries. And they're a mess. They're saying, the mayor of the city is saying that the city is going to be ruined. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Their problems are self-inflicted. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." I've read about multiple different cities in California that are these defund the police cities. They're really sanctuaries for criminals. And there was a female representative from California. I don't remember which area. I don't remember her name. But she was robbed by, I think it was four young armed men who physically beat her too, as well as robbing her. Funny thing is now she's changing her tune. She is one of the big ones that was defund the police. Guess what? Now she understands why police are important. But you know what? If we followed the Bible, we wouldn't have criminals chasing us. We'd have blessings following us if we followed Ecclesiastes 8:11. But the Word of God is mocked in our land. I can recall, it's I don't know how many years ago. It wasn't a great number of years ago, but a few years ago. And there was one of our representatives that was had the floor in Washington, D.C., and was bringing up scriptural matters. And really, other representatives were acting like they do in England in their parliament. They were talking out loud, mocking this representative, giving forth the Word of God. So what do we have? We have problems chasing us. That's what we have. Notice in Deuteronomy 17, we could have blessings chasing us, blessings trying to overtake us, blessings that we didn't even imagine, but we don't have them because we will not submit to God and His Word. In Deuteronomy 17:18, and it shall be when he, speaking of the king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall what? Read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear who? The Lord his God, instead of constituents, to fear God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Imagine what it would be like to have a president who read the Word of God every day. A president who feared God. A president who wasn't afraid to call this nation to repentance and to humbling. Notice in Jonah chapter 3. Imagine if we were like Nineveh. If America tonight was like Nineveh. Well, we may be. We may be but 40 days away from judgment, but we know something different happened here. Jonah 3 and verse 4. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What would happen in America if the preaching with one voice would cry out like this? I wonder if anything would happen. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh, what? Believed God. Had someone come to our house today for a delivery, and I went to give him a gospel tract, and no thanks. He just walked away. But somebody later in the day came to bring a delivery, and he took it. Where is America tonight? Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Imagine that if we could have leaders of America call America to fasting and repentance. Wow. What a wonderful thing that'd be. Verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. They were 40 days away from destruction. But you know what? Nineveh was preserved another 100 years. Imagine that. That close to destruction. Just a little over a month away. And instead God spared them for another 100 years. So if we go back to Deuteronomy 28, wouldn't it be wonderful if our nation would turn to God and we could have blessings just running after us and overtaking us, making us aware of wonderful things that we never dreamed. Verse 1, once again, Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. What we are missing as a nation if we would just repent. But I wonder, as Christians, what blessings might we be missing? Well, let's turn to Mark chapter 8. What blessings may be chasing after us if only God would have our hearts and attention, our devotion? Mark 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. And take up what? His cross. And follow me. How many blessings are we missing because we're not willing to deny ourselves? We're so selfish. Not willing to take up our cross, to take up his cross and follow the Lord Jesus. What would that cross look like in our lives? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. In verse 25, what would that cross resemble? How would we know it? Matthew 20:25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall what? Not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be what? Your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be what? Your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The blessings, I think, so often do not overtake us. We're looking and only trouble is running. It seems to be running after us. Blessings are not. Why? Because we're not willing to die to self. Notice in Mark chapter 9, that old sin nature in us just, you know, it's kind of like occupational seniority. You know, it just grinds people on the job. If someone who doesn't have the seniority that they have gets a promotion above them or maybe gets a job opening within the company that they would have liked. Mark 9:33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked him, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be what?
The greatest.
They all wanted to be the greatest. And we've just seen the way to be the greatest is to be the servant of all. So maybe we're not seeing any blessings trying to overtake us because we don't have a servant's heart. No servant's heart. In fact, sometimes blessings may be chasing after us and we're just hitting the gas pedal farther and farther and farther because we're not seeing them as blessings. I'm talking about Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5. You know what? We might be trying to outrun the very things that are blessings. What if that car would have tried to outrun the truck with the vehicle on the back? What if the truck would have tried to outrun the wrecker that was honking the horn? You're not going to catch me. The blessings that would have been missed. Well, in Matthew 5 and verse 2, speaking of Jesus, it says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are who? The poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, if we saw someone chasing after us that said poor in spirit, and trying to catch us, we'd say, you're not going to catch me. You're not going to catch me. I don't want that. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, that sounds like blessings. It sounds like blessings. Notice in verse 4, blessed are they that what? Mourn, for they shall be what? Comforted. If we saw someone chasing us with a sign that said mourning, not opposite of evening, but M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning, mourning, you're not gonna catch me. I don't want that. But those are the ones that are going to be comforted. And look at all these verses start out with what word? Blessed. Blessed. Verse 5 said, blessed are who? The meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek. Someone comes chasing after us with a sign that says, meek, meekness. Get out of here. I don't want that. Verse 6, blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Think of the people that are trying to fill themselves with sin, but it never quenches the thirst. Like the woman at the well. She was living in sin and thirsting. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You see someone chasing us, it says mercy, mercy. Oh, no, no. I don't want to have to show mercy to anyone. How would you have to like to work in the hospital in the cancer ward? There are certain floors of the hospital that are not always too encouraging. Hathaway Hills at the memory care end. That wouldn't be easy to work in those places. But the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. People run from that because they, well, but that means I couldn't look at certain things on my computer that I want to look at. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You come on a fight, two people fighting. Too many times in America, someone's getting robbed and no one cares. They'll pull out their phone and take a video of it, but they won't help the person being robbed. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10, blessed are they which are what? Persecuted for righteousness' sake. For theirs is what? Kingdom of heaven. We have to really work on these things, don't we? Because you know what? When you go up to a door and someone is really rude, angry, at times like that, it's hard to remember. That's a blessing. And you say it is? It sure don't seem like a blessing. Well, the Lord said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There is no greater blessing than the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall what? Revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is what? Your reward where? In heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Our problem is it's kind of like what we talked about Sunday. We treasure these eyes, but these eyes so easily focus on the things of this world. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But when we take those things which He has given us to richly enjoy and focus on them instead of on God, then those things become thorns, as we see, and grow up and choke us in our lives. So verse 12 says, when these things, verse 11, are chasing us, people reviling us, persecuting us, saying all manner of evil against us falsely for the Lord's sake, verse 12 says, to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. These things are all blessings in disguise chasing after us. But what do? We say, well, I'm never going to another door. Brother Jim could tell you, there was a guy working with us in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Brother Jim had an afternoon Sunday school class, and it dealt with the down and outer type of men. The homeless is what they call them today. They'd get their Social Security checks or disability checks, and they'd go buy liquor, get drunk, and get robbed, and then try to make do the rest of the month. But one of the places we went was called the St. John's Hotel. It was in downtown Chattanooga. It was a filthy nest of sin. An old hotel, run down, should have been condemned. But one of the young men that worked with us there opened a room and saw something in a room going on, and he quit. He didn't want nothing more to do with the class. That was it for him. And so he lost the blessings of being a servant and serving the Lord. I don't know what happened to the young man in the end. So all of these things that seem to be enemies chasing after us, if we respond correctly, are blessings for us in the end. Notice in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Press toward the mark. For the what? The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul faced the beatings. He faced the persecution, but he didn't quit because he knew the truth here. You know what? He was pressing for the mark because these things, although they seemed like enemies chasing him, in the end would bring him great blessings. Blessings would overtake the Apostle Paul in heaven. Notice in Hebrews 12. So what it is, it's a test for us. Are we really walking by faith, or are we walking by sight? Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us what? Run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured the cross. It does not say he enjoyed the cross. It says he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, all those things that seem to close in on us, if we just have a servant's heart, and if we look beyond the people that seem to be our enemies, and look beyond what the Scripture promises us, Jesus endured the cross. He despised the shame. And you know, the more we serve Christ, the more boldness we will get. The first parade we ever did, in 1992, I believe it was, we had a missionary here from Ireland, and he was back on the float, and I was driving my brother's pickup, and we had hay bales on a farm wagon covered over with, it's like table covering. It was red table covering. And you know, at first it was kind of intimidating. But you know what? The Bible says, he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Once you get over that first fright of it all, now to me it's exhilarating. When we can be out and giving out the Word of God, and it's just a thrilling blessing. And so I say that because it says that Jesus endured the cross despising the shame. When you despise something, you don't worry about it. You don't give it two thoughts. You just forget it. Jesus despised the shame because he knew what was ahead for him. Look at Revelation 3. We looked at this recently, but Revelation 3 in verse 21. Revelation 3:21. The Bible says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in what? My throne. Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Can you imagine? How many of us will ever get a chance to sit in the Oval Office? Now I'm praying for Brother Ethan that he will, in the chair. But I mean for us. How many of us will ever be invited in there as a guest? Well, here's how many times I think I will be. Zero. But imagine this, the promise for us that we will sit down with Jesus in his throne. Can you imagine that? Being invited by the Lord Jesus to come, sit with me in my throne. That's just hard to fathom, isn't it? What we think of is just falling down before his throne, not sitting on it with him. You see, there are blessings chasing after us. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. And if we don't think they are, it's because we need to get refocused. We need to have our spiritual glasses adjusted. Once again, Deuteronomy 28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. That's what we must get focused on. Observing and doing his commandments. That the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee, and what? Overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The blessings are chasing after us. Our problem is we're only seeing them as problems instead of what they really are. The Sermon on the Mount lays it out clearly. Blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. Well, a lot of those things don't seem like blessings. But when we have a servant's heart, we find that they are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the promise of your word. Thank you that we have that hope of of being overtaken by blessings if we will but obey your voice and follow your word. Lord, please forgive us, because so many times in life all we see is problems, and it seems like problems are overtaking us. And it seems like at times that problems will be our utter ruin on this earth. Lord, help us. Lord, forgive us and help us. Like the blind man who asked you to make him see. Lord, open our eyes like the prophet prayed of his servant in the Old Testament. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And the mountains were filled with chariots of fire. Lord, open our eyes and help us to see all of the blessings that are pursuing us and one day will overtake us if we will be but faithful to you. I pray, Father, if there should be any here tonight that have not yet been saved, that tonight they would come to the Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book.